Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, 10 minutes every day where the life of Jesus meets yours. We've got your daily Bible reading for February 6, 2019, looking again at Luke chapter 22. Beginning in verse 23, they began to question among themselves which of them it was who would do this thing. A dispute also arose among them, which of them was considered to be greatest. He said to them, "The kings of the nations lord it over them, and those who have authority over them are called benefactors, but not so with you. But one who is the greater among you, let him become as the younger, and the one who is governing as one who serves. For who is greater, one who sits at the table, or one who serves? Isn't it he who sits at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. But you are those who have continued with me in my trials. I confer on you a kingdom, even as my Father conferred on me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. You will sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." The Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has asked to have all of you, that he might sift you as wheat. But I prayed for you, that your faith wouldn't fail. You, once you have returned again, establish your brothers." He said to him, "Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death." He said, "I tell you, Peter, the rooster will by no means crow today until you deny that you know me three times." He said to them, "When I sent you out without purse, wallet, and sandals, did you lack anything?" They said, "Nothing." Then he said to them, "But now whoever has a purse, let him take it, and likewise a wallet. Whoever has none, let him sell his cloak and buy a sword. For I tell you that this was written, that this which is written must still be fulfilled in me. He was counted with transgressors, for that which concerns me has an end." They said, "Lord, behold, here are two swords." He said to them, "That is enough." This is the word of our God. Still in the upper room, Luke records for us and focuses on some of the disputes that had happened, some of the discussion that had happened. John records for us the most of that evening discussion. But Luke here, likely having interviewed one or two of the guys who had been up there, he really focuses on, first of all, this question about who of them was considered to be greatest. After this discussion of, "Behold, the one who betrays me is with me at the table," then they look around and say, "Well, who is it? Who would do such a thing?" And perhaps it's natural that that humans begin to wonder, "Well, who of us is the greatest? You know, I would never do such a thing." And you can kind of see the squabble, the argument going back and forth. "Well, I wouldn't do such a thing. He would. You know, what about this guy over here? And I wouldn't do such a thing. You know, I was with Jesus on that mountain of transfiguration." And the discussion had transpired earlier in the day, and it flares up again. And at some point, you just have to sit back and say, "What is going on?" Because here's Jesus. Here's Jesus preparing his disciples for his own death at the cross. And they're arguing about who is the greatest. And so Jesus has to explain it. "The one who serves is the way Jesus came." Verse 27, "I am among you as one who serves. But you are those who have continued with me in my trials." And he goes on to say in verses 29 and 30, "I have conferred on you a kingdom, even as my Father has given one to me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom." And his very first point that he makes is that, first of all, Jesus, the greatest one of all of them, is there as one who serves, not as one who is the master and the one who is being served. But then his second point is that they have been with him all this time. They should have known that. But then he kind of wraps it up and he says, "Oh, but by the way, as people who serve, you are certainly not going to be shortchanged when it comes to the end of time. You will certainly not be overlooked when it comes to the end of time." Verse 29, "I will give you a kingdom, even as my Father has given one to me, and you will eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. You will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." And his point there is not to say, or his point there is that he's saying that the glory will come eventually. It's not as though the Christian is the loser forever and always. It's not as though this Christian who slaves away and diligently serves everyone else in this life, it's not as though that Christian will always be the butt of the joke and will always be the one who is doing all the serving. Jesus says, if you want to see greatness, you will see greatness, but you have to see greatness in its proper place and at the proper time. The greatness that he talks about is the greatness to come. And that's exactly the contrast we have even today within God's church. Right now, the church on earth is the church militant, the church struggling under the cross, the church that has to fight against sin, church being Christians. Christians in this world have to fight against sin. And those who are in heaven, the believers who are in heaven, are part of the church triumphant, where they are in glory. They are never having to worry about any fall from grace or sin. They're never having to struggle. And Jesus conveys that very strongly in verse 30, that at that time, in that future place, in that future kingdom, you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. You will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And so Jesus says that even for every believer, really, is kind of the idea of the sitting on thrones, that the you plural also includes you and me. He's not just talking about these 12 apostles, but he's stating a general truth about the spiritual reality at the end of time. The spiritual reality at the end of time is that believers will be standing there, or even seated there, and on God's side after the separation. And believers will be raising their hand and cheering, raising their hand and passing judgment as God carries out his judgment. Christians, believers, standing there and affirming, yes, Lord, your judgment is just. Worthy are you. And if we can't quite picture that or comprehend that right now, I think that the main thing to focus on is that Jesus says the glory will be coming. The glory will be coming, the greatness will be coming, and the greatness is his to give out and to give to people. And he has done so as the accomplishment of his death and resurrection. He has given his greatness, and he has given a portion of his glory to his followers that they may share in his glory. That's how utterly complete the forgiveness that he won for you and me is, that we share in his glory now and forever. And then sitting on the thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel, that's the spiritual reality that believers will have at that end of time. And then verse 31, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to have all of you, to sift you as wheat, but I prayed for you that your faith won't fail. When you have returned again, establish your brothers, or when you have repented, verse 32. When you have repented, the word there is a word for repentance, and Jesus is recognizing that Simon Peter's probably going to fall away from the faith that very night, and Jesus prayed for him that he might repent, return to the faith, and encourage the fellow disciples with that same truth. And the big thing that Jesus focuses on as he wraps up here, before they leave that upper room, is that now things are going to be different. Verse 35, when I sent you out without purse, wallet, and sandals, did you lack anything? But now whoever has a purse, let him take it, sell a cloak, and buy a sword. Jesus is saying things are going to be different now. He had been protecting them that entire time. But he who is condemned to death and crucified at the cross is not going to be the only one to suffer now. And that's why it's so important that he walk them through that understanding of service and that understanding of kingdoms. That right now we live in this kingdom where the glory is not visible and the glory is not here. But one day those who those who remain in the faith and those who are held close to Jesus through that same faith will persevere at the end and will even be among those ruling and judging alongside God himself, saying, yes, God's judgment is just. And so as you go about your day, maybe you see that contrast between the suffering now that you have to deal with and the suffering that you won't have to deal with at the end of time. Give thanks to God for that. And just take a moment and ask for God's continued strength, that he might strengthen you, even as he did the disciples, so that you and I in our lives here may be always prepared to give a witness and to speak about the grace that we found in our Lord Jesus Christ, and to keep our eyes focused on him, that we might not be distracted and fall away from our Lord. You can find us Sunday morning at 9 a.m., 2250 South Holland Savannah Road, and we'll change it up a little bit. Tuesday evenings, every Tuesday except the third Sunday, you are still invited to join us for our CAP doctrine class, kind of an in-depth doctrine class that is a ton of fun. Anyway, talk to me, contact me in the show notes if you'd like to join in. God bless your day.